Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. And of course, the latest offering from Labatt Blue Citra, with a bright hop aroma and crisp, clean finish. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
Very good, Andrew. Yes. P. I'm Jim Galante. I'm sitting in for Bob Flounders today, so that means Andrew P. moves across the table to the analyst position. You're the expert. How you doing, Andy?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Very good. Ready to talk some Penn State football.
Some interesting tidbits coming out. Spring practices, well, they got seven practices under their belt, right?
I'm not sure if it's quite that many. They don't go every day.
Yeah,
they spread the 15 practices out over the month.
Yeah,
so
I think it's five is the number of. Anyway, and you had Pro Day, and you had a lot of guys coming back for Pro Day, including somebody who wore number 26 at Penn State. Was back for Pro Day, flew across.
He was a pretty good player, wasn't he?
Not bad. Had a good year with the New York Giants. Some Pro Day guys did some good things. Most of the Combine guys stood on their work, which is not surprising. They should have.
Well, I'll tell you what, Andrew. Hold up on some of that. We'll get to it right away. Let's go over our schedule. Quarter one, we are going to get into the news and notes, which will include Pro Day. Quarter number two, our buddy, the big guy, Ross Tucker, will be joining us. And guess what? Q2, we're going to continue Ross's countdown of the 2019 recruits. That's always a fun segment. Quarter number three is Ask Ross. And finally, in quarter number four, we're going to take a look at some of the coaching challenges that this staff is going to have to deal with throughout the spring. So let's get started with the news. The big news, Andrew, you were kind of previewing it, was Pro Day. And a lot of excitement there, as you said. The guys who went to the Combine, they pretty much stood on their numbers from the Combine.
As they should have.
Yes, exactly. They were very good. A couple of guys who weren't at the Combine were able to show off what they could do in front of the pro scouts. What were your takeaways? And I know you have a little inside intel for us also on what went on.
Yeah, I spoke with a source who was up there for Pro Day and is able to talk with the scouts. But I think the player that helped himself the most was... In terms of the player that made the best case for himself across the board was Nick Scott, safety Nick Scott. He's 200 pounds. He did 18 reps on the bench. He did a 41-inch vertical jump that displays athleticism and ability to go up and get the football. And he ran a 4.43 40. Do I have that number correct?
That's the same number I have.
All right. He ran a 4.43 40. He leaped out of the building, and he's strong. So I think he made a very good case for himself to be an undrafted free agent with an opportunity. I still don't think he's going to get drafted. He just doesn't have enough seat time at the position, because you remember his Penn State career, he flipped.
Right.
He was the second version of Troy Apke. I don't think he didn't earn a combine invite. He didn't flash enough during the season. He's got a little bit of a learning curve as an NFL safety and a safety just in general. I mean, it would have been good for him to have a second year at the position at the college level, but he doesn't. But I still think he makes himself a case to be a potential 52nd, 53rd practice squad guy for an NFL team that you could use in a pinch. And if you're going to roster him, it's first because he's a special teams dynamo.
And you mentioned Troy Apke. I think setting a precedent like that, the guy who sort of comes out of nowhere like Apke did and ended up getting drafted.
Fifth round pick.
Will help Nick Scott's case.
It will. It will, especially with those kind of numbers and how well he performed. I think DeAndre Tompkins, they can't help themselves, the NFL teams. They can't help themselves and fall in love with speed. They just can't get away from it. As much as everything else tells you, we know from watching him, and you Penn State fans know that, you know, catching the ball was a bit of a struggle, and that kind of matters. But the speed, he ran a 4.33 40, and that's going to get you some attention.
Here's the thing, though. A guy who drops passes could start catching passes.
True.
A guy who is slow is not going to become fast.
Correct. Correct. And he showed as a junior that he's an able pass catcher. He just had a bad year. But that doesn't mean he slowed down. And he's a confident and capable kick returner, punt returner, special teams guy. So with that kind of speed, he helped himself is the way I look at it.
All right. I don't want to spend too much time on the pro day stuff, but I thought the other guy who showed well was Koa Farmer.
He did all right. I'm not sure they know what's his position. That's the one. They're all looking at him, and you know, my is like, you know, where does he go? Where it's been the age old question since he came out of high school. Where does he play?
But at his size, he still ran the 4.48. Yes. As you said, speed is something they can't coach. So
he is a one trick pony. He is a one trick pony off the edge as a linebacker, and he could. There are jobs for that in the NFL. There are very, very well paid jobs and a need for that in the NFL. But he's got to carve out his niche, but he can't hide the speed. Yep, you're right.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Andrew, let's do one last thing on Pro Day. Sure. Understand we were talking off air. You have some inside info, some conversations, of course, about Trace McSorley.
Correct. Trace did throw at Pro Day the other day, and he threw well. He did well. So here's the thing that when I was drilling down, so there's a lot of similarities between Trace and Baker Mayfield. There's just naturally going to be. The one thing that is also similar about them is, look, Trace throws a really good deep ball, and he showed that off at Pro Day, and they like that. And he can make some of the throws. He cannot drive the ball into that tight window in that short to mid-range. You know what I mean? That throw where you have to not drop it in.
Drill
it
in.
Drive it in. And when he tries to do that, his ball flutters. It's not because of lack of arm strength. And Baker Mayfield's ball flutters as well. It's because of the hand size. He can't put the oomph behind it to get it into that type window. That's sort of the scout's big concern. And the difference, they say, but the difference between Trace and Baker is Baker won't do it. Baker won't try and make the throw that he knows he can't make.
But Trace will still
do it. And that's why it could be a problem going forward for Baker Mayfield. It's something to keep an eye on, because eventually he's going to have to start making those throws. And you can get better and work on it. But last year when he was playing, just simply wouldn't make it. He just simply wouldn't make the throw and make the mistake. And maybe that's what he was told to do. But, you know, Trace is going to be very, very interesting at the NFL draft to see what happens with Trace.
Does he make an NFL roster, yes or no?
Yes. I think there is a place for him. I have a gut feeling that there is a place for Trace McSorley.
All right, let's move on to a couple other items beyond the pro day. James Franklin met with the media on Wednesday, I believe it was, for about 10 minutes, took some questions. A couple things struck me. He did mention the transfer portal. We can't get away from that.
Every show in the offseason we have to mention the transfer portal.
That he's looking for some more depth, that we might see someone from the transfer portal.
He's got scholarships to use.
That's exactly it. Use them or lose them, right?
Use them or lose them, and he's going to use them.
Where if you would get an incoming recruit from high school, you're committing essentially a scholarship for 4 years.
Correct.
Whereas if you use the transfer portal,
1 or 2 years,
you could use that 1 or 2 years, especially if you've got scholars available for this year. Why not bring someone in for a year?
This is James Franklin, where you need to read the tea leaves. He's portal shopping, and he's found some stuff that he likes, and he's telling you that in the probably not too distant future, there might be some additions to their 85-man roster.
He would not have mentioned it otherwise.
Correct.
Speaking of mentioning, he did, and I didn't hear the question, in the press conference, but he answered about Keaton Ellis and Marquise Wilson, two cornerbacks, incoming freshmen, enrolled early. And I think any time that he mentions a true freshman by name, it's significant.
Well, we remember we talked about Keaton Ellis on the show last week when we were talking to Ross, and Ross was like, maybe I need to look at his senior tape and talk and reevaluate him in the ranking. I'm like, you might want to take a look at his senior tape because it's duly impressive. I'm not surprised, but if you think about it, look at the cornerback position depth-wise.
That's part of it.
That's part of it because they need to establish depth at the cornerback position, and he's dabbling in it a little bit going young, which he's not afraid to do. And, oh, by the way, Keaton Ellis has had a really good start to spring ball.
Well, and he also had the really good senior year, as you mentioned.
Great senior year.
The issue is, I think a lot of folks, because he committed early and was from State College,
right,
committing to Penn State, he got overlooked quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then his senior year, he just blew up. You saw it with the star ratings. He was evaluated again and said, hey, wait, this is a player.
You remember way back when we were talking about 2019 Diamonds in the Rough? Who was my guy?
There you go.
Keaton Ellis. And now I had the advantage of seeing him play twice this year as a senior, and I was like, whoa, A, somebody got better. B, somebody is an FBS football player for sure. And he's a corner, but I think you're gonna see him on special teams this year. I really do.
I'm always surprised that players, obviously the really elite players, they do stand out as freshmen than sophomores.
Correct.
But there's got to be a lot more guys who don't blossom until their senior year. Andy, in the last minute that we have left, I do want to go over something. It actually came out last week, and we didn't get to it. But one of the, in fact, I think it's an offshore gambling site, came out with their win totals. And I love these. Absolutely
I love them.
Surprise, surprise, at the top of the heap, Alabama and Clemson. Their over-under for number of wins was set at 11. Real quick, which one's over-under Alabama, Clemson, 11 wins?
Clemson is a push because I think they win 11. They always lose a game they kind of shouldn't have, not except last year. And Alabama, I think, is over. Someone's got to beat Alabama during the regular season.
All right, and real quick, Penn State at 8.5. Surprise you at all?
No, it's the right number. I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure yet.
See, I would have thought, and I hate when they do the even number like 9,
right,
as opposed to 8.5. At 8.5, I'll take the over. That is it for quarter number one. Stick around quarter number two, Tucker's Tape. We look at some more 2019 recruits.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.